Hey, yo, turn my mic up. It's been 10 years on the air, and Her Royal Loudness is back bigger and louder than ever. Join me every Monday at 6 p.m. for great music, interviews, news you can lose, and a word from Minister Petty Patty. Yeah, I got the petty word for you, too. So listen, get ready for the Tamika Hall Radio Show. Hey, how you doing? It's your girl, Tamika Hall, here. Oh, I missed you so much. I miss you when I'm not on the air, and I'm so excited that you have come here yet again, same place, same time, so that you can be inspired, motivated, and blessed. I got a great show planned for you today. We got A. Jermaine Nixon, two-time Stellar Award-winning artist, producer, songwriter, all of that good, good. He's hanging out in the virtual studio. We also got my friend, my sister, Angel Morris, celebrity chef, Angel Morris. Let me make sure that I give you the lowdown on her, y'all. She a celebrity chef, okay? Cooking up the goodness. I'm hungry already. She's hanging out in the virtual studio as well, and I'm excited to be able to chit-chat with the both of them. Listen, the second half, I'm going to be joined with my girls. Joined by... Why are my words getting stuck behind my teeth? I'm going to be joined by Lady Anika Stewart, Rodia Renee, and Miss Jacqueline Lulu Brown. And we are going to be here for the Royal Tea. We got some things to talk about, and we're going to just lay it down like we always do. Now, listen, I'm getting ready to start the show with a throwback. I don't know if you had an opportunity to be locked into Grown Folk Gospel with my boy DJ Ronnie Ron yesterday. Y'all, he's on every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Anyway, he was playing some of that music that I forgot about. So I'm kicking us off. We going a little bit old school. We're going all the way back to 2011 with Ramaya with the song You Don't Know. Y'all remember this song? Keep it locked right here. The Tamika Hall Radio Show.
When every check that I had written, bounced.
I don't hear you now.
And there was no one that pulled me back to my feet.
Right. can't have my daughter up on here and my sister too, and I can't get none. What's up with that?
Come on.
Don't nobody know. Don't nobody know.
Hey, 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 you're tuned into the Tamika Hall Radio Show. Yes, y'all, I'm so beyond excited, to just have my boy on the air. Hey, Jermaine, like, why has it taken you about 5 years for you to jump on this show? Like, what is really going on?
You've been there. I don't think it's me. It's probably a combination of both because we, you know, we both kind of move and shake a lot. So, you know, it's just a matter of our schedules coordinating. But we here, though. We are here.
I'm going to tell you, and a lot of folks don't know, but you have just been such an incredible force in my life. And, you know, I really look at you as just like one of my closest friends. It's just been an honor to be able to call you friend. So, folks, y'all don't, because my album has not come out, but Jermaine is responsible for my album.
How about that?
I'm waiting on the right time.
Okay.
Waiting on the sign.
Okay.
I know.
So,
but, you know, in those moments, you know, I think everybody always needs somebody that can hold them up, even when the world is saying something totally different. And you've always been that voice for me. And, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely.
So, like, let's just get down to the nitty gritty. I mean, you are, you know, I would call you one of the greats, but you wouldn't let me call you the great.
I definitely wouldn't.
You're one of the up and coming goats of the music industry right now.
I'll take that.
Okay, well, I knew you would take that. You would totally cut me off on everything else, but you're a producer. You engineer people. You're a songwriter. You're a singer yourself. You are a two-time Stellar Award-winning. Two-time Award winner. Yes. But, you know, on the backdrop, I think anybody that follows you on social media or even knows you, we understand that the job that you love the most are that of being a husband and a daddy. And so with all of that being said, how do you balance everything?
I try my best to prioritize things. You know, my little girl is five, so I know these are, like, pivotal times in, you know, her life where daddy needs to be around. The older that she gets, you know, she is noticing a lot more than before, you know what I mean? So it's like when daddy leaves, she's grabbing her coat, she's grabbing her shoes, she's trying to come with dad. When mommy leaves, you know what I mean, it's the same thing. If we're sitting on the couch, she's cuddling up next to us and, you know, all of that good stuff. So I promised myself that, you know, I wouldn't put music in front of my family because, like, my family is my family, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they depend on me, you know, based on the decisions that I make, you know, on my job and, you know, just any other business transactions, you know, that I do. So, and then the other thing is, like, I really value my time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, time is one of those things, and I always try to tell people this. Time is one of those things that once it's gone, like, you can't get that back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can spend money, you know, every 2 weeks you're going to get another check. Or, you know, you can spend $5 and turn around and get 10. But, you know, once time is gone, like, that time is gone forever. And you'll never get that back. So I just try to make sure that, you know, the things that I'm doing are worthwhile. And, you know, even if it feels like it's a waste of time, sometimes I just try my best to make sure that, you know, it's going to pay off, you know what I'm saying, in the long run, you know, somehow. So, you know, just trying to make sure that home is straight because at the end of the day, most of the time that I spend is at home. So, you know, I like a peaceful environment. Amen. Praise God.
You got to keep it peaceful.
You got to keep it peaceful, even if it means, you know what I mean? Like, I remember one day my daughter, I was getting ready to, like, go downstairs and, you know, bang out a deadline, and I was getting ready to go downstairs, and she, like, came to the steps and, you know, didn't want me to go, and I was just like, okay, all right, let's watch Frozen or Despicable Me or something. So, you know, but it's times like that, and I don't know. I mean, like the look in her eyes is just all that I need. You know what I mean? To keep going. So,
and I'm gonna tell you one of the things I've always admired is about you and Tiffany. You know, Tiffany is your wifey poo, and she has to be like probably one of the model wives of somebody who is, you know, wife to someone in the industry like you are, because, you know, Tiffany, she'll hang back, but people don't get it twisted. She's paying attention, right? Like she makes sure that you're protected, and not from a crazy sense, but she makes sure that you're protected, and she makes sure that nobody messes over you. And that's one of the things I've always loved about you and Tiffany's relationship. I think it's dope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She was probably one of the first ones to actually kind of cultivate, you know, me, like, really, really, really kind of, like, stepping out with stuff. You know what I mean? It was, like, our conversations was always, like, you know, I was telling her how dope this person was and how dope that person was. And she was like, I mean, but you're dope, too. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think you should really, like, start to see the potential within yourself. So, you know, she surprised me one day with getting some stuff that I needed to, you know, just start, you know what I mean, with doing my own music and stuff like that. And she was just like, just promise me that, you know what I mean, you'll always give it your best. And I was just like, bet. So, yeah, she's dope. I'm definitely a blessed individual.
I love it. I love it. So you actually grew up in Pennsylvania. You're from Coatesville. And, you know, talk to us, how did your musical journey begin in Coatesville?
So my grandfather and grandmother were pastor and first lady. I'm a very musical family. So my mom plays, I have an aunt that plays, I have a couple cousins that play and sing. Like, literally everybody does something, with the exception of my little brother, but he a G, so he all right. just, you know what I mean, the whole musical piece kind of started with, you know, just growing up in church. I started playing drums at like 5, and then I, you know, joined the kids choir, and, you know, then somewhere, some way, I started tickling with the keys, and, you know, when I got to high school, you know, they realized that I knew how to sing. So, I didn't want to do the stuff that, you know, they did in school. Like, I wanted to do what I heard in church and, you know, on the radio. So I started kind of, you know, learning how to play keys, you know, trying to follow myself and, you know, mimic what I heard other people do, you know, just by going to, like, different conventions and, you know, different church services and stuff like that. And then one thing that some people don't know is I have, at my high school, the gospel choir that was there was actually started by my cousin. He graduated, and when he left, there was someone that took over for a number of years. And then when that person left, I actually carried the choir for the duration of my high school years. You know what I mean? In high school. So, you know, I got, if you will, the hands-on training with, you know, teaching choirs and, you know what I mean, all of that. So,
That's why you have the scary choir look, the scary choir director look.
Absolutely.
If a note's off, like, you're scary. That's what y'all choir directors do. It's scary. Did you bang out the note on the keyboard or the piano?
Somebody
would be like, ding, 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 ding. Like, that's so embarrassing.
Nah, I didn't develop, you know what's crazy? I didn't develop, like, you know, the sarcasm and all of that stuff then, because I think, like, they were my first year, so, you know, it was more so like, yo, this is decent, like, we're making music, we're young, you know what I mean, people are calling us to, you know, come and sing and stuff like that, so it was more
so
like...
So when did you get sarcastic?
That probably happened...
And scary.
You know what, I don't even know, I gotta do some research on that, because it just kind of stuck in there, like, I only remember the first time that it happened, but... I think when it happened, I was just like, wow, I really just said that. But it was accepted, so, you know, it was cool. So, so I carried the choir for years, and then actually in my senior year of high school, I was doing, like, some stuff, you know, some R&B gigs and, you know what I mean, just kind of really exploring, you know, what was out there in terms of music. And I went off to college, and I think like around the year 2004, I started the group. There's a story behind how the group got formed and all of that stuff, but I'll say that for another time. but, you know, basically some close friends in, you know, within my community, you know, I got them together, and, you know, I was like, yo, I got some songs that, you know, I have in my mind. I want to put them together, and, you know what I mean? We'll just see what happens. So long story made short, the group came together, and we did, like, our first engagement, which was in, like, Darby, somewhere, Upper Darby, I think. From, you know, a friend had called and asked me to come and sing, and came and sung, and then, I kid you not, ever since that day in 2004, the calls have just kept coming, you know what I mean, through the years.
Wow.
So that is, in a nutshell, how the musical piece of that, you know, has happened, and I've been very blessed and, you know, fortunate to, you know, try my best to stay relevant since then. So,
yeah, I mean, you've done things like you shared the stage with, like, Byron Cage and Ty Tribbett and Dane Hall. And, yo, did you realize it's been 11 years since you released your first EP? It's been 11 years.
It has been
2009.
Wow.
Yeah, that you released your first EP in 2009.
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah, so here's the thing. You released your latest EP, Relationship Over Religion, in the fall, like the latter part of 2019. And the crazy part is people don't realize you were thinking about not really doing your own music anymore. So what led you from going, you know, from like, yeah, I'm done, I'm good, I don't need to release any more music, to a full blown EP? Like, what's really good?
All right. So interesting story. So, all right. So, as you stated, I lived in PA all of my life, and when I got married in 2012, I relocated and moved to Maryland. I would say Maryland, and it really became a lot, you know, to travel back and forth between Maryland and Pennsylvania. And at the time, I just believed that, you know, everything would just continue to be, you know what I mean, like it was when we first started. In a nutshell, what happened is, life just kind of happened for a lot of us. You know what I mean? Like, we started when we were, like, young with, you know, no kids and no responsibilities, to getting married and, you know what I mean, getting jobs and going off to school and relocating. So when I felt like it was time and our season was over, that part of Ascension, which is the name of the group, you know, I decided to kind of end that season with them. And I had said to them, you know, like, although this season is over, like, somehow, some way, I'm going to continue, you know, music ministry, because, you know, music is not just in me, but it's in each and every one of y'all as well. So don't allow this to be, you know what I mean, like, the end of y'all music ministry either. Like, you know, God's put something in each and every one of us. So, you know what I mean, I'm going to be at it. I want y'all to be at it as well. So with them, the last physical piece of work that we did and we finished was my second record, which is called I Won't Forget. We did the release concert in 2013, and when I finished that record, I said to myself, it is finished. And I laughed because, but I did that because that was like the end of, you know, like my season in Coatesville. You know what I mean? I had just got married, you know what I mean, a year before, and my daughter was on the way. You know what I mean? So I was preparing to, you know, have my daughter here. I didn't want to continue to be, you know, traveling here and there, rehearsing here and there. So I stopped a lot of stuff, you know, some time before she came and even after she came. And then, you know, honestly, when that part stopped happening, believe it or not, people were, like, kind of pulling at me and tugging on me to, you know, work on music for them. So, and I think, honestly, I think I might have, that's probably when I started talking to you about, you know what I mean, starting to do work and stuff around that time. So, you know, and I honestly believe what happened was just in the flow or getting the feeling of creating music for other people, it was like, hey, you think you might want to write something? Like, you think you might want to do something? It was like, you know, having like that, the good A Jermaine on one shoulder and a bad A Jermaine on the other shoulder. It was just like, hey, what you going to, it was one of that situation. So, to make a long story short, I called a friend and I was like, look, it's been a while since I did some music, but, yo, I think I'm ready to, you know, try something. So, he was like, all right, cool. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's do something. Show me what you got. So I was like, all right, give me a week or so. So I wrote a song and I called him. I sent it to him. And, that was probably, like, the first time that I actually worked with another producer. And then once I released that, he was like, yo, you got to follow this joint up with something. And I was just like, okay. So I did another single, and that went good. And then before I knew it, I was already, like, working on, you know, just more music. It was just like, hey, I never got a chance to work with this person. Let's do this song. And, you know, here I am. So therein lies Relationship Over Religion, which came out in November of last year.
I love it. And so, you know, I really resonated with a lot of the songs on the EP. And one of them that I resonated with was Never Gave Up On Me. And I think that that song is like a hidden gem, you know, within the EP. And I want you to, you know, set this up for us because it's one of the ones I want, you know, my audience to hear. So talk to us about the song Never Gave Up On Me.
Okay. So Never Gave Up On Me was just, it's probably the backbone of the title Relationship Over Religion. All right, so you know, in this Christian based, faith based, you know, religion that we're in, you know, it's hard at times. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things that are happening around, and it's so easy. You know what I mean? For us to lay our salvation down for a second and get at somebody, or you know, you know, we're in a constant battle with, you know, our flesh. If it's, you know, speaking ill, if it's, you know what I mean, cussing somebody out, you know, whatever. Like, it's a constant, you know, thing where, you know, we're trying to live the way that, you know, Christ expects us to. And the song Never Gave Up On Me was simply just a reflection of God, me talking to God and saying, look, I know it. I have not been the ideal Christian. I know I haven't dotted every I. I haven't crossed every single T. And I'm still getting it together, but I just want to take a moment and say, I know that at any given time you could have cut me off. You know what I mean? You don't have to bless me the way that you do. And I just want to thank you for allowing me time to get myself together. Like, you continue to grant me mercy after mercy. You continue to grant me grace. I just want to let you know that, you know, when I have my times of wilding out, that is really not intentional. And by me saying it's not intentional, it doesn't mean that that's acceptable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, you know, I just want to just take a moment to say thank you, God, for never giving up on me. And I promise, like, I will continue to strive, you know, to be a better Christian each and every day. So the feature on the song is a young lady by the name of Precious Cullins. She is from Monroe, Louisiana, and she was actually like a person, you know, on social media, you see somebody sing and they got like thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, likes and comments, like she's killing. So one day I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I know you don't know me, but I saw your video. And I, when I heard your voice, you know what I mean? I was like, yo, she would go perfect on this song that I had. She was very, very, very personable. Very, very, very easy to talk to. And, we made it happen. So, that song for me is just a constant reminder that, you know, as long as I keep on trying, you know, God won't give up on me. So yeah, it's one of those thought provoking, you know, heart piercing, songs that, you know, I just, like to put on and, you know, meditate and, you know, just reflect and listen to. And I hope that it has the same effect on everybody else as well.
Well, I love it. I love it. Listen, y'all, there's no better setup than that. Keep it locked right here. Here is Never Gave Up On Me.
Sometimes I slip, sometimes I fall, but you love me through it all. Thank you, Lord.
me, no, no, no. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me.
To the Tamika Hall Radio Show. You just got finished listening to A. Jermaine and his song Never Gave Up on Me. We're hanging out in the virtual studio with A. Jermaine, and really excited to have my boy here in the studio. So, A. Jermaine, you know, I'm listening to the song. I love it, and you're so right. Precious, her voice is death. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's crazy, right? Yeah.
It is. It is for sure. For sure. And of course, you know, I don't have any sense. So I was thinking, do you actually just put on your own music and just listen to your own music? Like, do you ever find yourself sitting around? You're like, Lord, I need a little correction. Let me put on, you know, Never Gave Up on Me. Do you ever do that?
So, like, I do listen to my own music, not as much as people think, but sometimes, because I'm like a I'm an overanalyzer. You know what I mean? And I'm always listening to stuff and be like, I probably could have did that different, or, you know what I mean, I probably could have did that better. But there are times that I do listen to it just to listen to it from, like, a consumer standpoint, you know?
Yeah.
The relation over religion over that EP is, it's an EP.
Relationship
over religion. I don't know why I get tongue-tied with that, but yeah. It's an EP, and, you know, I put it out because it is, like, the first piece of work that's, like, you know, working with, you know, a new crew and, you know what I mean, a new sound. So I was like, you know, let me put this out and just kind of see, you know, how people are feeling it, you know what I mean, see how they're responding and all of that good stuff. And it's gotten, you know, great response. So it's actually a work in progress towards releasing, you know, the full record. So, yeah, like, I do listen to it sometimes just to see if the ones that are on the EP are going to make the cut for the full record. Or sometimes I am in the mood for, you know, Age of Main Music. Sometimes I listen to that one. Sometimes I listen to, you know, my second one, which is I Won't Forget. And sometimes I go back and listen to, you know, the very, very first one, which is called The Process. And I listen to it just to hear the growth between the records, you know what I mean? So, because I think each record should show, you know, growth of some kind, and it does, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I do sometimes listen to it. Not a lot, but enough.
So do you have naysayers? Because you're such a nice guy. I mean, that's one of the things that, from the moment that I met you, what, like 5 years, however long ago, it's been a while. We've known each other for a while.
It's been a minute.
But,
it's been a minute.
It's been a long time. I lost count. But ever since I met you, you've always been a very nice person. So, I mean, like, do you have naysayers? And if you do, how do you handle it?
Yeah, I do. It's just one of those things that, you know, you're unfortunately never, ever going to get away from. And, you know, just as a quick testimony, at one point, negativity really, really had, like, me in a really low and dark place. And I had to ask God to, you know, to deliver me from the opinions and approval of people, because for so long I've always felt like, you know, I needed the approval of this one in order to feel validated, you know what I mean? Like, I needed to have this person like my status, or I needed to have this person, you know what I mean, approve of, you know, whatever it is I was did, just so that I could feel like people like me, you know what I mean? Like, there was a period of time where, you know, it really bothered me that people weren't the same towards me that I was to them. And, you know, somebody has shared me, like, yo, like, everybody's not going to like you, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. You know, sometimes people just kind of have things, you know, within them that, you know, they aren't necessarily happy with, and they may see those very things within you and be mad that, you know, you carry those traits, but, you know, they don't. So it took a long time for me to, you know, kind of accept that, but the way I do is I just keep it pushing. And this girl at my job one time was like, if it don't fly, let it apply. If it don't apply, let it fly. And I just thought that was, like, the dopest thing that I ever heard. But, you know, yeah, like, just because people say, just because the things that people say, it doesn't make them true. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I just keep rocking. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like I'm walking and I have music in my head. No, you can't tell what I'm listening to because it's going in my ears. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah,
as long as I'm moving to my own beat, like, you know, I really try to keep a tunnel vision mentality. And, you know, I'm always open to constructive criticism, but I always consider the source as well. Like, you're not going to tell me that, you know, I should do this on the record, and you've never worked on the record before. You know what I mean? So, you know, I always consider the source, and like I said, like, if it doesn't apply, I just let it fly, and, you know, I just keep it pushing.
I love it. I love it. So before we get out of here, I know you mentioned that you are working on a bigger project. You know, I'm like, twiddling my thumbs. I like being the first person to have inside scoop. So
yeah.
What can you tell us about your full project coming out?
Okay. So, as you can hear, I'm smiling from ear to ear.
I can hear it.
Because, like, Yeah, like I'm so excited about this record because, okay, so as independent artists, right, sometimes our hands are tied, you know, in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, create the sound that we want or, you know, to work with the person that we want just because we just don't have the resources or, you know what I mean? Like, for some reason, we just don't know how to, you know, go about getting that person or coming in contact with this person. So mm-hmm. I have been very blessed and very fortunate to be in a position to basically, like, if I want this person, I can go after this person. Or if I want this, I can, you know what I mean, make this happen. So the beautiful thing about this Relationship Over Religion EP and the record is that each and everything that you're hearing is exactly how I want people to hear it. You know what I mean? Like the people that I want on the drums, they're on the drums. The people that I want to play bass, they're playing bass. Horns, you know what I mean? Even all the way up through the features. So, It's been a huge blessing. Some of the songs that are going to be on this record are actually remakes from my very, very first EP, which is The Process. There's a song that I still sing today, which is called Thank You, and it is still very much relevant, you know, even in today's time. And I have, like, a artist on there that's a feature. Actually, there's two on there, and I'll have to tell you off the record about some of the features only because there's a few things, you know what I mean, still kind of happening. But I'm just so fortunate to have some of the people be a part of this record. It's like some of the people that you hear and some of the people that I've looked up to. And, you know, the beautiful thing is, like, I've been in a place where I was like, yo, what if this person and this person was on a song? Or what if I did this person, you know what I mean? And it's like, some of those very combinations are actually happening, you know what I mean, on this record. Or, you know, so I'm like, so thrilled, and, you know, I really can't wait for everybody to hear the music. Like, it's on the same vibe as the Relationship Over Religion EP, and, you know, the fact that I've gotten, like, great response from that, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, cool, I'm going in the right direction. So, praying for a fall release. My birthday is the 20th of November, so I'm thinking about, you know, putting it out sometime around then, providing that, you know, everything is locked and loaded and ready to go. But I'm so geeked. Like, I'm so excited about this record. Like, you have no idea. I really am.
I love it. I think it's so cool. You know, I think, you know, a lot of us as indie artists, we look at folks like you, you know, who you produce other people, and you've been able to work with some of the greats in the industry, and sometimes we don't realize that you also have your own personal aspirations, and so I think it's actually pretty dope to hear you so excited about your project. And
It's been a long time, yo. It's been a long time since I've been excited about my own music, you know what I mean? And, you know, the thing about me is, like, when I work with other people, like, I treat people's music like it's my own, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I get excited about it, you know what I mean? I take the ownership, and I, you know, like I said, like, I treat it as though it's my own, but it's been a very long time since I've been excited, you know, about my own music. And the crazy thing is, like, I'm not even, like, you know, pushing for, like, charts and Billboard and all that stuff. It's more so, like, an internal feeling of I started a work and I finished it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, not only do I hear this, but I'm allowing other people to hear the message that I have within each song, you know what I mean? And, you know, just hoping that it falls on good ground and, you know, it just spreads positivity to everybody that hears it.
I love it. I love it. So how can people connect with you off air? How can they find you? How can they find your music?
All right, so my music is listed on every digital platform under A. Jermaine and Ascension. I'm on Instagram. They can find me at AJ Jams. That's AJJAMS. My Twitter handle is A. Jermaine. That's AJERMAINE. And you can also visit my website, which will actually take you to all of my social media platforms. And the website is simply www.ajermaine.com.
You've done this a couple of times, a time or two or three, because you rattled that off real nice. Good work.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's a work in progress.
I want to take us out on my favorite song on your EP, Victory. So set this up for us before we go.
All right, so the feature on this record is Kenisha Trapp. Small short story, she was actually supposed to appear on a Christmas EP that I also did. And, you know, schedules, you know what I mean, conflicts, all that stuff. So I had to move forward. But I circled back and I reached out to her and was like, yo, I got this joint is blazing, yo, and I need you to, like, set fire to it. So it's a remake of, you know, your traditional victory song, you know, that we've sung in churches, you know, for devotional songs. And I just kind of put a little twist on it and, you know, A-Germained it, as people say. A-Germained it or A-Germainized or whatever they say. And, yeah, it's hot. You know what I mean? It's catchy. And it's just one of those things that, you know, when you put the song on, you know, it just speaks positivity in the air. You can set your day off. It'll set you off in a good mood. And, you know, before you know it, you'll be singing along. So this is the one right here. This was actually my quote-unquote comeback single. And when people heard it, they was like, oh, yeah, he's back. So, yeah.
He's back. And who wouldn't want to try to scream like Niecy? Okay, I'm just saying.
I mean, I was like so tempted to be like, yo, just do this song by yourself, yo. Like, you know what I mean? My singers, I can't keep up with you.
Work together very well.
Yeah, it came out good. It came out good.
Yeah, Niecy just has one of those voices. You're like, I want to try that run. And then you're like, nah, I'm not going to ever do that.
Yeah. But yeah. And she was so easy to work with, yo. Like, she's so a gem. Cool. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope you like it. Yeah, put that joint on. Turn the speakers all the way up and
turn it up. Turn it up. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight.
My pleasure.
And my crew here on the Speak All Radio Show. Listen, y'all, you already heard it. This is about to go down. You heard what A-Germained said. He said, turn up the volume. Now,
turn them up. Ears,
I just have to be the mom right now. Take your earbuds out and then pump it all the way up, okay?
There you go. I just
we don't want to be responsible for your busted eardrums.
I just want to say that I appreciate, you know, everything that the I Worship family does. You guys constantly keep my music in rotation. And I appreciate not only what you do for me, but as well as, you know, other independent artists. And I think what you guys are doing is amazing. And you, Tamika, keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I know you can hear it. I'm smiling from ear to ear. Yes. Keep it up right here, y'all. This is the Tamika Hall Radio Show.
Yeah. Here we go. In the name
of Jesus.
Come on, say.
In the name of Jesus.
Sing it again now. Satan. Satan. He's got to flee. Oh. Let's go. Who can stand me? Yeah. Oh. Jesus, if you got victory, come on, sing with us, y'all.
It's in the wonderful name,
in the name of Jesus,
that
Satan
had to.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh,
tell me who can
stand me.
Sure.
Oh, we have
the
Hey, 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 welcome to the Tamika Hall Experience. I'm so excited for this segment. This is where I get to talk to my boss babes. This is Saved and Bossy. And I'm so excited to introduce to the world some of the baddest chicks on the planet. We're unapologetic about the God we serve. And we don't care. We are unashamed about giving God praise for everything that he's doing for us. And I'm so excited to have Angel Morris on the show today. Angel, thank you so much for being here.
Yay me.
It's been so long. I mean, we were talking about it off air. I was like, yo, we got to get Angel on the show already. Like, it's just too much. It is too much. So I'm so excited we were finally able to let our schedules collide and we were able to chat. And
yeah.
So most don't know. I mean, people probably see that we have this like great sister relationship on social media. We became acquainted years ago because of music.
Music, yeah.
2000. Because fast forward to 2020, I guess it's been probably at least 5 years.
Yeah, about 5 years.
Fast forward to 2020, neither one of us are doing music. Not like that. Like, we're still connected.
Right. Right. You was right on my end.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really doing it either. What made you decide to kind of do an about face?
For me,
God knows you can short enough sing. So like,
and you can as well. So, you know, we're in this same little rocking boat together. But, for me, music is always going to be, you know, a staple in my life. It's always going to be a part of who I am, but I don't have the passion for it. The way that I used to, and what I do now allows me to reach people past the church. Although I can sing any genre of music.
Oh yeah.
My preference is always going to be to give God back the gift he gave me first. But using my hands and what God has put in my hands allows me to touch people from every walk of life, every nationality, from people who have, you know, who have a lot down to people who have nothing. I get the opportunity to be able to touch them in a different way, whether they have ever, you know, stepped foot in a church, whether they worship a different God. I can still do more with what God has given me in my hands that transcends past religion and past nationality, past sexual orientation, past, you know, women, children, men. I can reach so many more people and speak Jesus in a different way, because if they give me the opportunity,
oh yes,
I'm going to take the opportunity. So with what I do now, I can put a plate in front of you and you'll ask me something about that plate. And I know that I can bring my God into that conversation. So this right here allows me to minister on a different level to people more than music could have ever done.
And what we're actually talking about, we're talking about Signatures by Angel. And it's so crazy, Angel. I don't think you realized, I feel like my earrings are probably gonna be making a sound. I don't think you realize how much of a stir you're leaving the industry was going to cause. Did you posted and said that you were pursuing your dream to be a chef, to open up your restaurant, like it was like Jordan when he was like, yo, all right, I'm retiring. Yeah, for like
but I put that, that word retire up. Boy, that was a.
Because on one hand, I don't think anybody believed it. I don't think people wanted to believe it.
Well, people still pushing like, oh, you're just taking a sabbatical. And I'm like, no, it's not a sabbatical. It's been 4 years now.
Yeah. Wow. That time flew.
Yeah. I haven't been out as an artist, since 2016. So it's not just a temporary fix. No, I sing when necessary. You know, I'll sing when someone asks me to, but it's not something that I am, you know, pursuing. You know, my husband, I have my husband for that. He can rock out in the artist.
Okay.
In that lane, I'm good.
Yeah, it was crazy because I'm gonna tell you, I remember I received phone calls about it. Like, I'm like, I don't know what Angel's doing. Like, what you mean? Like, it's so crazy. I'm like, well, she's crazy. Like, okay. I mean, people were upset. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, she's retiring. Yeah. But it's crazy because you and Jay had already been posting about cooking, and so we already knew that it was a passion.
Right.
Everybody, I think, wants to come to your house at some point and eat because mm-hmm. we've been looking at the creations for years. And so, but I just got to say, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, I'm so hyped. And I think about it all the time. I'm so excited that you pursued your passion. And beyond the naysayers, like, God has propelled you. Like, you've been on award shows. I mean, God has just opened doors for you. And I'm so proud to, like, see you win. Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
It's just been a ride. It has been a ride. You know, a lot of highs. You know, some lows, but a lot of highs. Oh, my goodness. This journey has been amazing. I've been able to, you know, meet a lot of amazing people. You know, we've done Food and Wine Festival twice. We've been able to, you know, start other small businesses underneath the umbrella of Signatures by Angel Catering, the entity by itself. I'm going to be an ink one day like you. That's my goal, to be an ink one day. I want to just, you know, I just want to see my name there, and that'll be just fine with me. But we've enjoyed this journey. We've opened 2 restaurants, closed 2 restaurants. You know, now we're working on getting
a food truck.
Yep, getting a food truck. That's next.
That's the new wave, though.
Yeah, I mean, it allows me to be, because we have so many people who support us from all over the place. Of course, you know, we live in Delaware now, but, you know, we came out of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I had a large following of people who loved my food in Pennsylvania. So coming to Delaware, having to kind of start all over from a grassroots, nobody really knew my name. And now I'm to the place where here we are 3 years later, and everybody's still thinking, some people still think I live in Pennsylvania.
Do they? Like, well, yeah, I need to know where you live, honestly.
Well, I mean, I don't care. I'm, you know, I got protection. So if you want to come by.
Y'all can come over there if you want to. Jay is not going to let you leave walking.
Test yourself if you like to. However, but, you know.
See how the sun came out when you were just talking about
that?
It?
Did you see that?
That's the Holy Ghost, honey. Look at that. You know you showed enough saved. Like,
there we go.
The sun just came out.
Yeah. Or wide open, you know. But, yeah, so we still have people that support us. A lot of people that still support us in Pennsylvania. So bringing our business here and starting all over was, it was hard at first because trying to get people around here, especially in Delaware, everybody knows each other. So it's like, okay, you're stuck to the familiar, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that was just, okay, this is just a wall I'm going to have to kick down. It's just a barrier. It's just a barrier that I'm just going to have to claw my way through, and I'm not going to climb over, and I'm not going to go under, and I'm not going to shortchange anybody. I'm not going to creep around the sides. No, I'm coming straight through the front. I'm going to bust this door open.
Because you belong there.
When I come through it, you're going to know it's me.
Yeah.
That's just my mentality about everything. I'm a straightforward person. I'm pushing right for the center.
Straight, no chaser. I want to park right there for a quick second, because Signatures by Angel, first of all, do you have formal culinary experience?
No.
So this is all divine.
This is all divine.
And I bring that up because I know you had to probably, in terms of you kicking down doors and different things like that, I know you had to encounter some type of naysayers along the way, probably because they felt like, oh, she doesn't have the right education. Oh, she doesn't cook according to the proper, whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's not something I heard, but I'm, and so when we're talking about being saved and bossy, sometimes that means you got to go with the training that comes from divine. It's just a training that comes from divine. I tell people all the time, I do not have formal training as a graphics designer. I do not have formal training as a radio host. I don't have any formal training. It's all God educated.
So talk to us about dealing with your naysayers, how you were able to do that and come out on top.
I had my bouts with insecurity when it came to my credentials. Mm-hmm. Let me say it that way. I'm going to make sure I say this correctly, because I have never, ever had a low confidence or a low self-esteem when it came to what I put on a plate. I know what I know, and I know I can do what I can do, right? Mm-hmm. I know that when you get this plate, not saying that every plate is perfect, but I'm going to give myself at least 8.5 out of 10. Mm. This plate is going to be something you're going to enjoy. You may find maybe one or two things that may not be to your liking, but for as a whole, this plate is going to be pretty, pretty good, right? That being said, when you, and I face this, so this is the reason why I'm going to bring this up. When you have a plate that you made and it tastes better than someone who has been on national television.
Come on.
Someone who has been on award shows, cooking shows, someone who you see on TV, they look like you, and then when you present your plate and this person who has been in school and done everything that they were supposed to do the right way, and then people come to you and say, your food tastes better than this person's food. I like your food better than that. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, now this person doesn't like me. Now I'm telling you this because this actually happened to me.
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Okay, I'm not gonna blast anybody because I don't blast other businesses.
Just tell me off air. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I don't just blast kidding. Other businesses. I don't do that. And I don't blast other chefs. But this specific thing happened to me at the Food and Wine Festival. And another famous chef made a similar dish to what I was presenting. And even the owner came and said to me, this was one of the most memorable dishes I've had here. And then the consumers came and said, oh, I had yours and I had theirs and yours was so much better. Mm. Not realizing that that same chef that they were talking about was walking behind them. So I didn't know whether to be excited or embarrassed, or I didn't
a little bit
like
of both.
Every bit of my emotions came out. Like, is he about to not like me anymore? Like,
oh my gosh. And it was a man, girl.
And so, you know, this is a,
so I just had a, I had to lean back
male
on that.
Dominate, right. This is a male dominated industry that I'm in.
Yes.
And then for me to be just a home chef or a home cook, because I didn't give my name chef. Everybody else kind of gave me that name.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know, for me to be just a regular person who learned everything in my mother's kitchen, and what I did not learn in my mother's kitchen, I learned from reading books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have over 200 culinary books inside this house, and I'm constantly reading. My computer is actually sitting on two professional chef books right now. Make sure it was high enough so you could see me.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly trying to reinvent myself, constantly trying to learn things. If I see something on a TV show that I've never done before, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm
going
to test it out, which is why you notice I'm always on Facebook saying, hey, I'm looking for somebody to taste test this, because I don't eat my own food because I can be biased. I want somebody else to try.
Now, when I, the next time I come through Delaware, I'm letting you know.
I know, right?
What can I taste?
The one thing I
regret is that every time you have platters for sale, I am nowhere near Delaware.
I'm never near.
I'm like this, and this has been going on for years. This is a conspiracy.
I know, because every time I get an inbox from you, I start laughing. I'm like, she's not even here to try to taste this. My confidence level and who I am, I'm very unapologetic about who I am. I spent so many years questioning myself about who I am, and not just in cooking, but just in life, period. Who am I as a friend? Who am I as a mother? Who am I as a wife? who am I as a singer? Who am I as a chef? It's always been, you know, a bunch of questions until I got to the place where the stronger I became in my faith, the more I stopped caring about what I was and started embracing the fact that this is what God created. So work with it.
Mm.
If he thinks it's good enough, why don't you? So I began to look at myself through God's eyes and the way he sees me. Okay, if he says that I'm good enough to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with no apology. I'm going to do it because you said I couldn't do it. I'm going to do it because I don't care about what you think. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it because I care that you think some type of way about me, and I'm going to prove you wrong. That was always my, you know, my mentality once I was able to embrace all of who I was.
Mm.
Now I'm at the point where I don't care. I just don't care if you think I shouldn't. I'm going to do it anyway. So someone telling me, oh, you can't do this because you don't have a certificate. Well, who says I can't do it? You say? And who are you? Because you have it and I don't.
Right.
How about we go head to head?
Come on.
And let's find out. Because you know technique, I know flavor. I know what technique is wonderful. It is wonderful. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to make sure that this tastes good and you're going to eat it. And that's bottom line. That's the bottom line.
That's all that matters, boo. That's
all that matters.
Eat this.
Are you full? Are you full? That's all I care about. You know how they say, did you die?
Did you die? Like, I was just thinking that. Well, are you full?
My thing is, well, are you full?
Did you eat it though?
Did you eat it?
Did okay. You eat it? Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
And the end. Right. And that's
point
it.
Point blank and the period. And so.
We began after the storm aside. Land, it's just a morning light. Switch your attitude. Go ahead, level up yourself. This that different latitude. Life too short, go spoil yourself. Feel that feel, enjoy yourself. Cause we have everything we need. 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 After the storm inside, land, it's just a morning light.
Switch my attitude. I'm so radical. All these people mad at you. This for who it matter to. What if Eve made apple juice? You gon' do what Adam do? Or say, baby, let's put this back on the tree. Cause
we have everything we need.
I love about you is that you have never been afraid to give back. In your past life, you were a teacher, you know, so you definitely still have a love for the babies and you just love people in general, their families. And so when the world shut down,
that's how the
in March
came out.
You all of a sudden I look on Facebook and you and your husband are out when everybody's afraid to go out in the street.
Maybe.
Y'all in the streets and you are feeding children, like y'all gave them, I think it was lunch and breakfast or lunch and dinner.
So it started off with just lunch. So what happened was how the give back came about is it started with prayer.
Mm.
Right? It started with prayer. Me and my husband, we pray every morning, as I'm sure most couples do.
Or should do,
right?
Yeah.
So we were praying, and it was the first day. It was actually the the day before. So it was the first day of Pennsylvania's shutdown.
Mm-hmm. So like March 12th is when we shut down.
Yeah, and we shut down a day after, the Tuesday. So
it was that
Monday. And my husband was praying. And in the prayer, you know, he has said something along the lines of, you know, God bless the children who are, you know, going to have to stay home, who may not be able to eat today, because for some children, school lunch is the only meal that they'll, you know, breakfast and lunch is the only meal that they'll have.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and bless the elderly, you know, those elderly and seniors who are going out to the stores and finding nothing, because at this point we are 1 week into the panic mode, right?
No toilet.
Everybody has bought up everything in the store. And for those people who are elderly, who can actually get out, they're not moving as fast as everybody else. So people are going around them and snatching things off of shelves. And, you know, it was just a lot. It was a lot. And when the prayer was over, I kind of sat in my living room and I was just kind of meditating on what my husband had prayed about, and immediately tears just started falling, right? I still have students, at least 7 students that I am still in constant. When I say constant, I'm talking like almost every other day, every day. I'm still in constant contact with them, their parents, everything. So you get close to those type of children. I'm sitting here thinking about them and I'm like, I wonder if they are all right. So I'm sitting in the chair, begin to reach out to them to see if this is their first day home, what's going on. And two of my families, my old families, I cash out some money to. My bank account had maybe less than $100 in it at that moment.
Mm.
My personal bank account, not my business, my personal
bank account. Yeah.
I had a little less than $100 in there. I sent both of them $25. So now here I am to $50.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, I said, I had this idea. And he's like, kind of gave me the side eye, you know.
What angel.
He's like, oh, you know, oh Lord. You know, and whenever I come to my husband with an idea, you know, he gives me this look every time. But he's a wonderful man. He loves his wife. Amazing man. And he's like, okay, what is it? And I said to him, I said, how do you feel about making 50 bag lunches today? And he's like, what are we going to do? I said, tomorrow we'll go out in the neighborhood and we'll go into Wilmington and we'll see if there's any children or any parents out and we'll try to give out free lunch. He was like, are you sure you want to do that? Yes. My husband always asked me, are you sure you want to do that? And yes. And he's like, okay, if he gets one yes from me, he's like, all right, we're going to do it. So we got up, we went to Restaurant Depot and we just kind of bought bread and lunch meat and peanut butter and jelly, a little simple stuff, you know, potato chips and the little snacks to go inside the bags. And we posted it. And we let people know tomorrow, this is what we'll be doing. We'll be going into Wilmington. We'll have the, you know, food in it unless we find a space, we'll have the food, you know, giving it away from our trunk. It was I don't even know how to explain the feedback from it. It was just amazing.
Because you guys never asked for money. You never asked for money. And I took that
$52 that I had.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember Susan Small.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw your post. Cause you know, I just was so busy. And so I really wasn't even on Facebook, but she shared it and I happened to jump on and I saw her thing. And you know, she's such a beautiful person.
Another wonderful voice that's different in the kingdom.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've interviewed her.
Another one.
Yeah. She's amazing. She is so dope. I got to bring her back to the show, but she posted and I loved it because she said, I gave some money. She didn't ask me to do it. I was like, right about it. Boom. Right. I'm a Cash App too.
Yep.
And and then I remember you being like, that night or something, you were like, we're able to feed kids for the next week. And
by the time that first day, before we even gave out a lunch, we had enough money to feed kids that whole week.
What I love about the whole give back is you all started that not because you didn't do it for recognition, You didn't do it. You didn't do it for attention, which I was recognition.
I really didn't, none of that stuff.
And I believe that when we do things with the right heart, God brings it back.
Like, News Journal came out like that was crazy to me. Like News Journal followed us for the day.
What?
Yeah, that was crazy. That's so dope. That was crazy to us. They interviewed us, video and, you know, took a bunch of pictures of us. It was weird. You know, I'm not used to that type of, you know, so.
Yeah, and you've never really liked it. No. That's why I'm surprised that you were like, all right, Mika.
You know me. I'm just like, you don't have to do all this. And, you know, I appreciate it. But, you know, the give back is crazy because in my business plan for the food truck, there is a portion in there of that we wrote in that said that we wanted to be able to give away food one day a week from the truck to the homeless, right? Now, this business plan has been written over a year ago, and it's there.
Wow.
So I laughed when someone was like, well, just imagine if you get your food truck, what would happen if you'd be able to give away free food? And I was like, the give back actually came before the truck.
See,
weird, right?
But it's just all about when you sow and you reap. It's like, it's just like you're sowing.
I tell people all the time, I give to have. I give to have.
And you weren't even thinking about it like that. And so for really? Folks that are tuned in listening, if you do want to hire Chef Angel, honey, go to signaturesbyangel.com, right?
Yep. Signaturesbyangel.com, yep.
Yep, they can
Angel
all...
Angel two L's. Please make sure you spell my name right. Oh, my goodness.
It's Angel.
Yes, A-N-G-E-L-L, two L's. Two L's on that.
Angel, I appreciate you coming to the alcohol experience. Look, that's all I can call
this
it.
This is more like a catch-up than it was an interview. That's what it was.
So
we talked all the time before you left me down here, but it's okay. It's okay.
I had to leave in order to find myself. I love how God does stuff. I love how God does stuff. And we got to stop letting it be like a year in between when we actually converse on a phone or something.
Right. Even though we speak, you know, I don't want people to get it confused. We talk all the time. We just don't talk.
Like talk. Yeah, we don't talk. So I appreciate you. I love you. Listen, y'all, I want you to make sure that you stay connected to Angel. Go to Signatures by Angel. That's A-N-G-E-L-L.
Yes. .com.
Looking for a miracle.
It's your girl, Tamika Hall here. Welcome back. This is The Royal Tea. This is when queens come together. We discuss issues taking place around the world. We discuss ministry. We discuss Jesus. And we discuss existing in our queendom. I'm so excited to be joined by Miss Radia Renee, gospel artist. Yeah, climbing the Billboard charts. Yes, boo. So excited about that. Excited to introduce minister, author, international speaker, Miss Jacqueline Lulu Brown. How you doing? How you doing?
Hey.
Yes. And then we have international coach, international speaker, international best-selling author, Anika Stewart. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Preacher. Look, y'all, she all them things. This is what we mean when we're talking about a queendom. Mm-hmm. And what I love, y'all, is that we have come together and we are just fire all by ourselves, but like we are blowing up together. And I think it's beautiful for women to be able to come together and to show the world that this actually can happen. So thank you guys so much for being here for another episode of The Royal Tea. So Radia, how are things going with you?
Everything is going fine with me. Since we last spoke, you know, not too much has changed. I'm still reading, I'm still writing, still going to work. But everything is good. Everything is all good.
I'm ready to call your job and be like, I don't understand why my niece is working right now. Like, we are in the middle of a global, you know, I'll do it. we're in the middle of a global pandemic and I don't understand why you feel the need for her to be there. Like, I will.
Anika, well, the Lord is providing because I'm set to get another raise on Monday. Oh, so
okay.
Just hold on.
But you're wearing, yeah, look, praise God for that. So you're just wearing your mask, you're wearing your gloves and stuff.
I am. Carrying around my hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm. And you know, folks, I don't know if y'all heard, but like they talk about the fact that hair can kind of carry things. So I don't know if you got your hair in a bonnet or whatever. Yeah, I literally now will put on my lock sock, you know, because now I got some hair attached right now. I'll put on a lock sock and that's how I go out, because that's what they're saying. They're saying, you know, when you come in, obviously they're like, don't touch your face. Wash your hands. But they're saying, you know, wash your hair. Well, for us, we don't wash our hair every single day. So definitely be covering your hair when you go outside if you can. Yeah, it's amazing. It's like it's something new every single day. It's something new every single day. But listen,
oh, wow.
I don't want any parts of it. Anika, how are things going with you?
Well, Tamika, all is well. All is well. I'm an essential worker, so I go to work every day. And I have to come home and take care of business and the children. Needless to say, y'all pray for me in this home. My children they're getting on my nerves, but that's nothing new.
You got to send them to the principal's office. You got to send them to the principal's office. Well, that's you, so never mind. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's me, too.
Right. That's you, too. Jacqueline, how are things going for you?
Going well, thank you. And you've made a good point about your hair, because I had to go to the doctor on Monday. And guess what I did? When I got in the shower, I washed this hair.
Yes.
I was just like, let me wash my hair. I just had this phobia about, okay, I've been around in a doctor's office and everybody had their masks and stuff. But just, you know, you had to, even with the paper, you had to lay back on the little, whatever that is that they have you sit up on, the little table. And I was like, you know what? I'm not laying on my pillow and bringing this stuff in my bed. And I just felt the need to wash my hair when I came back.
Yeah, this woman, somebody, I don't even remember who it was, but they sent me an inbox with a video, and this lady was a nurse, and she said one of her friends, they worked, I guess, on the CDC or what, you know, the Control Disease Center, is that what it stands for? And that's one of the things that she was saying was, make sure that you wash your hair and different things like that. So, you know, that's a good thing. And you're in Georgia. Ms. Jacqueline,
yes, I am, right where the CDC is, absolutely.
So is it truly open right now? I mean, like, is business back open?
And the answer is, I really don't know. They have this huge, huge campus. I mean, it's just really enormous. I really don't know, because when they're covering things on the news, you really don't see them in their element. I do know some folks that work for the CDC, and they are working from home.
They're still working from home. So they have not opened up the state of Georgia like they said they were. They haven't opened up the whole state to like.
I don't think they opened up the entire CDC, because some folks that I know that work for CDC are working from home. And okay. all of Georgia is not completely open. Gotcha. And it's two pieces. Some people got good enough sense to stay put, mm-hmm. and they're just not trusting it. And then you have some that they just haven't opened everything up as of yet.
Did you happen to see where in California they opened up the beach and like people just flocked to the beach? It was insane. I'm actually going to try to throw a picture of that up on the screen, but it was insane. And so, you know, now they were saying, you know, that they're thinking about closing the beaches down again. You know what? Here it is. The California governor actually closed the beach down. Let me pull this up so y'all can see this. I think for me, I do not understand why people would, you know, it just baffles my mind why anybody would be willing to actually still go out in all of this mess. And like I said, I'm trying to pull it up really quick. I lost it on my screen for a second. But it's just insane to me. And while I'm pulling that up, you know, I definitely wanted to be able to just, you know, what's the word? Pay homage to Troy Sneed and his family, you know, with him passing from the coronavirus. I mean, that was sad.
It's
completely unexpected.
Sad.
Completely unexpected. And, you know, it was amazing because the gospel community really, hurt behind that. They really did hurt behind that. And, so it's sad when anybody passes, you know what I mean? But, it kind of hits a little bit differently when, you know, when it's somebody that you are at least familiar with. Let me show this to y'all. This beach over in California. And I just don't understand why anybody would even be willing to go out in this mess. All right, let me share this for y'all just so you can just see it. Can you see that? Isn't that insane?
Wow.
This is insane. And this is what it looked like when they opened it up. And then when I just pulled this up, it said that an hour ago, the governor shut the beaches down again. Like, I look at this. People are out there. They have no covering on their bodies. They don't have covering on their faces. There's no social distancing there. No. And yeah. It's insane.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like if all is not clear, meaning the virus is not, you know, completely taken care of, I feel like nobody should be opening anything mm-hmm. then, because mm-hmm. why open the beach and then close it right away once you see people like, okay, people feel like, oh, we're good. Like, let's go get in the water. Like, everybody's fine and comfortable. Once you open the beach, everybody's calm and, you know, there's a sense of relief there. So I could see why everybody would flood and not feel the need to wear
because it's any the beach. Kind who's of, gonna go to yeah. the beach and wear a mask and gloves and
yeah,
a like, full like ozone layer suit.
The worry, know? Exactly. The worry is like, you know, gone for the people that felt the need to go. Mm-hmm. But if it's still not safe out here, then why open the beach in the first place? What did you expect?
Yeah, I agree. And and during this time, DMX has actually a couple of days ago, he held a live Bible study on Instagram. I wanted you to be able to hear just a little bit of this. Let me see. Let me make sure you're able to hear.
Come on. It's with God right now. You know? Like it goes into the family.
Can you hear it?
The family of everyone yep. across someone. You know, it's a family member or a friend. You know, we feel that pain. But we feel that pain because we're going to miss them being with us. You know, if you think about where they are, hey, they're in a better place. They're in a better place. The word says, when I next observed the oppression that take place under the sun, I saw the tears of the oppressed. They have no one to comfort them. Their opportunities willpower. but they have no one to comfort them. So I declare that the dead who have already died are more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But happier than both are those who have never existed, who haven't witnessed the terrible things that happen under the sun. Ecclesiastes 4.
Ecclesiastes 4. You know, it's definitely, it's the word. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on you know, him delivering the word? There were 14,000 people that were there during the live. And then they said, obviously, you know, thousands more after that. And he in the past has actually talked about the fact that he wanted to be a pastor. What are y'all's thoughts?
Listen, I'm all for it. Who am I to judge him? Who am I to condemn him? He's a soul. And I just believe that he's been anointed since I was introduced to his music. When I used to hear DMX pray, it would literally bring tears to my eyes. I felt the Holy Spirit because I grew up in church and I strayed away. And so me listening to his music and just feeling his passion, like the man is anointed. He has a calling. And who am I to say that he isn't called to win souls? Because that's what the kingdom is about, winning souls and bringing men and women to God. Mm-hmm. And he's called to do that. So I celebrate him.
So I'm gonna go with Anika on that. We definitely need to get out of this judgment zone. So we shouldn't stand in judgment of anyone, because everyone will have their judgment, and we got to be worried about our own versus somebody else. And for me, being a baby boomer, and as they call him, an old head, I think my perspective my perspective has really changed over the years. And I'm gonna be real transparent and honest in that when a lot of the rap music came on, I mean, my youngest, which is my son, is actually 39. And so he'll be 40 this year. And so DMX was big and up and coming when he was a teenager. And I was constantly yelling upstairs, turn that music down, shut that off. Didn't I say don't blast that demon music in my house? I had never taken the time to listen. And what we made a mistake as parents, we made the mistake of not paying attention. We let the media educate. Well, I'm going to say me. I let the media, me and some of my church folk friends, we let the media educate us on a lot of DMX and others' music versus listening to the words, learning how to hear pain, and learning how to interpret and understand why the music is the way it is and what they were saying. And I've watched a couple of interviews with him. I watched an interview with him some years back from prison. And clearly he has been going through some things and had his transformation. But here's what he really did that I'm going to say I said it took a lot of courage. He called out what happens in the music industry. He called out the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. He started talking about what we really need to be talking about. And when he did that, I was like, okay. He started tapping on some areas, and you could tell that he had been through something, and you could tell that he was someone that was fighting for his soul, fighting for his own soul. So I'm with you, Anika. I'm not going to be criticizing and being critical. He that winneth a soul is wise. And we gotta stop judging. And to be perfectly honest, you know, yes, churches are closed, but, and I know some going probably, I don't know, get prepared to make somebody might shut you down for me saying this.
Oh, but no.
Some of our religious institutions need to be closed right now.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Some of them holier than thou, ritualistic, matrix enslavement religion folk, they need to get saved. They need to get a new walk with God. So, you know, yeah. I ain't judging the brother.
I mean, I'm 24 again, so DMX is,
you know who DMX is, Rodney?
I know who he is. I know who he is. But I haven't followed him or his music as closely, I will admit. He's before my time. But again, I agree with you ladies. I applaud and cheer for every person who wants Christ, who is chasing after him. And, you know, again, I feel like it's really important to reiterate the fact that where some people are called to in terms of a person, everybody, we can't expect, I'll just say, some people who are called to what God has given me or will, has put inside of me to release to people will be completely different than somebody who is called to, what God has given you, Anika, and what God has given you, Ms. Lulu. Like, what God has given DMX is for a certain, group of people. And I just applaud him for taking the courage and having such a huge platform that he has to begin to, you know, walk in what he felt, you know, God has given him to walk in. And that's always a great thing, especially for the body of Christ. The Bible says, you know, God's ways aren't our ways and his thoughts ain't our thoughts. So for anybody to feel like, or who may even begin to feel like, oh, what is he doing? And all of that judgmental stuff. It's like, you don't know what God has planned. And whether it's you or your child that watches him, whatever God has given to him to give to every viewer that was on that live is exactly what they got. Everybody that was there needed to be there for that time in that space. So again, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful thing. So what you don't end up seeing is, you know, that he's smoking, but then he's also, he ends up cursing, you know, does that change what we feel? Like, do we feel like, cause I'm gonna be honest with you. I just think that right now we are in a time and place where people need to hear God from unlikely people, even though we have over the years heard DMX at different times, like in the middle of his drug induced state, he would be preaching or, you know, whatever. So we're used to that. But, like, you know, I know that this was an argument when Kanye West released his music, and I remember saying, yo, but how beautiful is that? That one of the biggest people in the game right now is able to do an about face and will boldly say, I am saved. And, you know, God delivered me from the devil. Like, he's literally said it. So do we hold them to the same standard that we hold, I guess, people that are professing to be ministers of the gospel? So like him smoking, does that dilute the message of what he gave?
I don't believe that it dilutes the message. The word is the word. The word is the word. So if he is teaching the word of God, then I can't go against that because the word, it doesn't change. God doesn't change. But I believe for me, my personal opinion, I'm not looking at him as the same as someone who is ordained to be the minister, just basically because he's not saying I'm a minister or anything. He's just saying I love God and I want to teach people about who he is. Yeah. I want to introduce them to who he is so they can know him. And for me, I commend that. Why? Because when I got back into the church, I was still struggling with I really was. When I first got back into church, I was still struggling with drugs. I'm just keeping it real. I was still struggling with drugs. I would leave service and go home and smoke my cigarette, you know? And I was still struggling with that habit. And I was asking God, please deliver me. And so I took a step further to, okay, I'm going to go 3 days without smoking. That 3 days turned into a week. That week turned into 3 months. I just activated my faith. So some people just need to know that although you're struggling, although you got something that you're dealing with, God can deliver you. And because of that story, people are more inclined to give God a try. They're more inclined to know him for themselves. So he can deliver them, not you. He can deliver them. The word deliver them.
Right.
All right, I'm done.
And I just appreciate every believer who is transparent, point blank, period. Like, mm-hmm. I really have an issue with, and it's still something I pray about, is, and I'll just say, there, for some, I understand who may think opposite of how I do, but I appreciate the believer who is chasing after God, but they are, like I said, transparent about certain things that, you know, God has, that they are waiting for their deliverance from, that they are asking God for deliverance from. So him smoking, I mean, is something that he does or that he's doing. And I believe God, again, can change, can deliver, can heal, can set free anybody. The more time you spend with him, the more he changes you. Mm. And that's all. I just appreciate the transparency.
So I think one of the things that I'm going to answer the question with a question. When you're in the hospital and you see the priests come through, go into the rooms to visit and pray for people, got his collar on, and you know, mm-hmm. he's free. And then you see him go outside and you see him light up a cigarette. Does anybody question and say, should he be walking around praying for people in the Uh-oh. Hospital? Because I saw him smoking.
That's a good point.
Anybody say that? So I think that we have become so conditioned because we've developed these critical eyes of judgment. And I agree that if that's a vice that he's struggling with, that's a vice that he's struggling with. You know, I am a recovered emotional eater. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Eating was my drug of choice. So when I would go and get bread and make some homemade fettuccine,
come on,
it would be so gooey that the you would see the butter and the cream cheese separate when it got. I could make this stuff like so good, and but I would be making it not because it's just the meal. I would be making it with nothing else in the middle of the day mm-hmm. because I was like this. I gotta have something. So. But I was going to church, praying for people, ministering. So does that mean that while I was struggling with that, what is the difference between me craving and being addicted to food versus somebody going and shooting heroin?
Very
what
true.
What is the difference? Well, smoking crack.
Mm-hmm. There is no difference.
None. So we have to look at that. People have struggles and people have addictions. They got shopping addictions. You know, some of us, yeah, we went to church and we got into church. We just changed our vice. Mm. Instead of smoking weed and instead of drinking, we started going shopping and now shoes is our drug of choice or food is our drug of choice.
Relationships.
Sex. Yeah.
Exactly.
Relationships.
So, yeah. Right. So I'm not, you know, thrown off by his smoking. We know that smoking is bad for your lungs and all of that. So my thing is pray for the brother that he can right. get beyond smoking because it's not what God wants for him.
Right.
It's just it's not what God wants for him or me or anybody else, but it's looking at him as a human being and saying, God, he's reaching people. He's got talent and we don't want people to be distracted because he's smoking. So we pray that
yeah.
he can get beyond that, you know, addiction because God, you don't want that for him.
I'm getting sick and I'm tired of living life this way. Lord, without you here with me, all I seem to do is make mistakes. I'm asking, is there a limit to your mercy? Cause I wanna know. I wanna go back to the days where for you I was thirsty. Okay now, Lord, I apologize. Again, I crucified you. I try to fight it, but it's clear I need you to survive. So many times I tried with my own devices, but you told me everything I need you have provided. Blind to your love, was deaf to your call. I come before your throne of grace and I surrender all. Cause when I fall, you're there to catch me. So if they ask me, I'll say that your grace is all I need. Oh Lord, you see the best in me. It's why I call you Yahweh. It's why I call you Yahweh. When I'm walking through the valley, let me feel you next to me. And that's my prayer,
my prayer, my prayer.
And that's my prayer,
my prayer, my prayer.
You know my thoughts,
you know my heart,
you know my breath,
Lord, you know my breath,
Lord, you know my thoughts, you know my heart,
you know my
breath, Lord, you know my breath, Lord. And so I pray, let your spirit fill me, every day I'm breathing, let your mercy shield me from all evil, cause it was you who found me. So when you just ground me, build a tower around me, goodness and favor around me, beg you never allow me. Never move on without me. If you move on without me, what is a death to drown me? Sometimes it gets so rowdy, my sunny days get cloudy, but with you I overcome. And I'll say that your grace is all I need. Oh Lord, you see the best in me. That's why I call you Yahweh. That's why I call you Yahweh. When I'm walking through the valley, let me feel you next to me. And that's my prayer,
my prayer.
That's my prayer.
Whoa, say that your grace is all I need. Oh Lord, you see the best in me.
That's why I call you Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh.
That's why I call you Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh. When I'm walking next to me,
and that's my
prayer, my prayer,
and that's my prayer,
my prayer,
yeah. And that's my prayer,
my,
oh
prayer,
Lord,
my
and that's my prayer,
my prayer, my prayer.
You know my thoughts,
you know my thoughts.
You know my heart,
you know my heart,
you know my prayer,
you know my thoughts,
you know my heart,
you know my
prayer,
you know my
prayer, you know my
prayer,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lulu, you and I, we were kind of conversing today, and you brought up a really great topic for us to talk about. I want you to present, you know, the next thing that we're going to kind of chat about.
All right, ladies. So what I brought up was self-love versus maintenance, self-care.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say self-care. Let's say self-care. Self-care versus maintenance. And what do people think is the difference? Because people tend to join them together. And maintenance is something totally different. And I'll start us off with an example. I hear people say, oh, girl, I'm taking care of myself today. I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get my mani and my pedi.
Listen.
I'm going to get my hair done. I'm taking care of me. And then, you know, we say it with this, you know, like, I'm taking care of me.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing me.
Yeah. You know what? No, that's your maintenance. And why? Because are you going to let your nails grow like fangs? And are you going to let your feet look like, you know, some kind of wolf huff or something like that?
Miss Lulu, some people do. Some people's feet be wolfing. And it makes me angry. I literally get angry when people put their toes in shoes around other people. You know your feet are ugly. Like, you know that. That's not what you
some don't. About. Some think they got cute feet.
Listen.
Some think they popping out
here. I don't
want to
be
streets.
Messy, but I was so angry yesterday. This woman, I was scrolling through my Instagram. Hey, scrolling through my Instagram. And then I got sick because this woman had her feet perched up and her toenails were as long as my nails. They were green, like lime green nail polish. And her feet were like this. And I you intentionally took a picture of just your feet like this. Why did you do that? And my nails are jacked, y'all. I guess I have to like do my nails myself. But anyway, your feet like this. Why did you do that? We didn't see her face. We just saw her legs and her feet. And I was angry.
That
because she was as Beyonce was saying, filling herself. She needs to stop herself.
I was angry. Right. I feel like the Bible says if you have an ought against your brother or sister, you're supposed to take it to the
go to him.
Like, I feel like I need to go to her and be like, please, do not ever.
It's still maintenance, though. That's maintenance. So she is someone that doesn't understand maintenance. Because, see, long before there was a nail salon, I keep telling y'all, I'm old head, old school baby boomer. Long before there was a nail salon on every corner, I learned from my grandmother and my grand aunts and my aunts. I learned and was taught. Very, you know, I come from the prissy world where, you know, the nails, but we did our own nails. And you learned as a young girl how to give your own self a manicure. I mean, Palmolive liquid, still soak your hands in it and make them soft. So come from that school. You know, my aunt, now this is going to sound crazy, but my aunt, when she would do her pedicure, one of the things that she would do, and she wouldn't put a lot, she would take and the little foot thing that you put in, she would fill it up with water, and she would put just a cap, one small cap of bleach, just a small cap, and just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, but that little bit of bleach would help slough the skin. Now you go to the salon and they taking the thing and scraping your feet.
God.
It would take and it would soften just that little bit. It would soften, not as well, you know, it also would disinfect.
Not as well as that foot cheese grater that they use now. I see some people.
Cheese grater.
And I promise you, I judge people. When I'm sitting there soaking my feet, if they pull out that cheese grater on your feet, it's a problem.
Yes.
I inwardly I'm smirking. Like, your feet nasty.
All over the floor, yes.
Right, and it is just me grating the cheese.
But when I was young and I saw people do that, I thought that was cool.
Back in the day, you maintained yourself as a woman. You were taught as a young girl. I was taught with maintenance. Maintenance includes making sure that you maintain the right kind of undergarments to have. Your nails, your hair. You know, now I grew up going to what they called it the beauty parlor back then. But you didn't always get to go to the beauty parlor. So you want to know what? Somebody taught you how to. There wasn't no blow dryer back then. Somebody taught you how to wash that hair, put a couple of little braids, and when it dry by the next day, you get that bergamot or Dixie peach. Y'all don't even know about that.
And the hot comb.
And the hot comb on the stove.
Yes.
And
there's no better sound. There's no better sound.
You know, and then and you get the click, the curlers, click, 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 click. You get and we were good to go. And think about the beauty. You tell me that every black woman you knew wasn't, as they say, you know, nowadays, fine. I mean, look at the way women look back then. So that was considered maintenance stuff. The point that that was maintenance. Self-care was making sure that you ate properly. You got the right amount of vegetables. Self-care was making sure you went to the doctor. Self-care for me is making sure that I don't neglect to schedule a mammogram. That's self-care. But going and getting my nails in a pedicure, that is maintenance.
Well, Miss Lulu, what about buying a booty? Because I want to go buy a booty. And I'm concerned that it's self-care.
I got to marinate on that one for a minute.
Here's the thing, though. If you prioritize the self-love that you have for yourself, which to me, I define as, you know, doing all the inner work, you know, inner workings or whatever, not worrying about what people think about you, you know, appreciating what God gave you and, you know, focusing on your character and how you are, you know, presenting yourself to the world kind of thing and all of that. Then if all of that is good and if all of that is fine and you choose to go get the booty on top of that, I mean, you know, that's self-care. If the self-love part isn't a priority or isn't prioritized, your motives, your self-love in general, if that stuff is messed up and then you go get a booty, I feel like women that do that are covering up, you know, or trying to justify who they are by, you know, doing a whole lot on the outside when the inside is empty or dysfunctional, or, you know, like, you gotta get your mind right, you gotta get your heart right, focus on yourself, stuff like that. So, I mean,
that's true. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's good that we're talking about this, because I think nowadays you're right, Miss Lulu, that self-care and maintenance are being used synonymously, and women are still hurting. We're still dying on the inside. Like, we're still depressed. We still have high rates of, like, suicide, and it is because we are not caring about ourselves. I mean, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm currently working on a workbook now called I Am More Than Enough. And it's because I've found, you know how sometimes when you think that you've conquered an issue, all of a sudden something comes and lets you know you're not as healed as you need to be. Mm-hmm. And rejection and shame, those have always been the things that have been attached to me, and I've been running from them, like, really most of my life. You know, I was molested at the age of 5, and I have been running from shame and running from rejection ever since I was younger. It caused me to get into bad relationships. I was in abusive relationships. I started doing pageants because I wanted to feel pretty. So I started doing things, pageants, modeling. Like, I started doing things because it made me feel like I actually cared about myself. But you're absolutely right, Radia, that if you really don't love yourself, it doesn't matter what you do. At the end of the day, you're still left with yourself. You know, when when you're by yourself and your thoughts are louder than anything else, that's really the determining factor. What are your thoughts, Dr. Anika?
And that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say, Tamika, because at the end of the day, I feel like what you say about yourself is important.
Mm.
And that is associated with self-care to me. Because what you think about yourself and what you say about yourself is important. And it's about self-care, because if nobody supports me, if nobody validates who I am, I know it for myself. And at one point, that just wasn't the case for me. I didn't know who I was, and I was trying to be what everybody else wanted me to be. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Miss Jacqueline, that, you know, it is a difference. And a lot of women, they do intertwine the two, with their nails and their hair. Oh, I'm self-care today, or that bag. Oh, I'm self-care today. But that's not the case. It's really about what you think and what you feel about yourself, and how you take, how you begin to incorporate change in your everyday routine. So I'm very mindful of what I say about Anika. I'm very mindful of what I say about my children. I'm very mindful of what I do concerning my health, you know, making sure I get my checkups and things like that. So I definitely agree. Good subject.
So, Miss Jacqueline, I know I'm putting you on the spot, you know, because we're just opening the surface of this. I definitely think that we need to come back next week and continue to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Can you give us, like, one assignment or something that we can do until we meet again next week, where we as women and everybody that's watching this and everybody that's hearing this, give us an assignment or some homework or something that we can begin to really build ourselves up and really begin to embrace the true meaning of self-care?
Okay, so I'm going to start with, why don't we start with our physical health?
Mm.
So that the assignment would be is to take a look at everything that we're eating. And it's timely because I'm getting ready to do my husband and I are getting ready to do our normal, like, sort of cleanse, starting tomorrow first, but just write down and, you know, think about the things that you're eating and anything that is really not serving you. And I'm not talking about just like having a little bit, but if you're, you know, because we're in this kind of
indulging.
Life, yeah. If you're indulging, thank you. If you're indulging, especially if you're overindulging, if you've been eating potato chips and cookies more than usual because you're in the house more, then I would say, let's start there. Cause that's self-care, making sure that we're putting good things into our body. And one of the things we can do is instead of the cookie or the potato chip, do something like, I don't know, do carrots, do some kind of, do a piece of fruit. That's easy. A handful of grapes. So let's just fill up on all of the good stuff and good stuff that you like. I mean, fruit, everybody likes fruit. So the good stuff that you like, you know, berries and stuff like that. Do some sorbet versus ice cream. That's, you know, so the eating is a good place to start with our self-care. And the second piece of that is with the eating, let's put some movement with it. Put some movement. If you can't, you know, get out to a gym or whatever, put some music on every day and do a crazy dance. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I put on some music that's going to play. I put on my favorite songs. And when I say crazy dance, I'm talking about crazy dance. I mean, I'm just like doing everything all over this. You know, again, I told you,
yes.
I'm cool. So I'm doing the jerk. That's the sickness, you all. I'm doing the jerk and I'm doing, you know, because I'm trying to move my arms to get my heart. So I'm just like jumping all over the place and acting all crazy and do that. Exactly. And then, you know, little.
Stay in the line.
She's looking at me like, this woman is crazy.
And I was like, where did you learn that song, Rodia? Like,
but you know, just put something on. And I would say to start with, you know, self-care, take some time out. Make sure we check ourselves in our eating and make sure that we are doing some type of movement. And start there. That's something that, you know, you can do this month.
Back home to friends. I will rejoice.
I'll sing my song.
I'll sing my song.
I'll clap my hands.
I'll clap my hands.
I'll do my dance.
I'll do my dance.
'Cause he's been so kind.
Time.
Hall here. You're locked into the Tamika Hall Radio Show with her royal loudness herself. Absolutely. I told you today was going to be a good day. Didn't I? Today was a good day. Absolutely. Make sure that you stay connected to Mr. A. Jermaine Nixon. Go to his website, ajermaine.com. Stay connected to Angel Morris by going to Signatures by Angel. Remember, that's got two L's, y'all. Two L's. com. And, you know, we had a good conversation on the royalty, and I hope that what you pulled back from that conversation is for you to take a moment to literally implement self-care, not just maintenance. I know I'm crazy. I know I say a lot of crazy stuff, y'all. It's just me. It's just me. That's why I'm your best friend, because I say the stuff everybody doesn't want to say. But it's so important that we get out of just the maintenance and we actually take the time to care about ourselves, to give ourselves a break, to love on ourselves. And I definitely hope that you implement the homework assignment that Miss Jacqueline Lulu Brown, you got to say her whole name is just like that, that she gave to us this week. So we're going to begin implementing self-care this week. Well, you already know I love you. You were created to make God famous. And until next time, this is the Tamika Hall Radio Show. Be blessed.